We'll open with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The other day, my wife and I were walking from the car into a store. We were holding on to each other because we were kind of shuffling our way across that icy parking lot. Didn't put down enough sand or salt, or maybe it was just too cold for it to work. I don't know. But it was very slippery, and it was very cold, and the wind was blasting our face. And we're shuffling along, and my wife tells me, she says, "Remind me again, why do we live here?" I don't know if any of you have ever had that thought, but it's something that comes to mind periodically, especially since my wife works from home, and she says, "Well, I can work anywhere." But there are days when it's painful to breathe. There are days when it's actually dangerous to be outside more than a few minutes. There are times when we go days or perhaps even weeks without seeing the sun. Winter is the time of year, and especially January is the time of year when most people suffer from depression. It's that post-holiday season when the blues set in. People realize we've got a long way to go until spring. The excitement of the holidays is over, and we don't get a break for a long time. We don't see the sun very much, and this actually leads to what they call SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. And it's something that affects many, many people. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the third quarter blahs? Well, even in this time of year, God has some lessons we can learn, even from the winter. As he says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." So even the winter has a purpose. So today I'd like to consider a few things that we learn from winter. Number one, winter reminds us that God is faithful. Seasons come and go. Winter comes every year, but winter will give way to spring. In that same chapter of Ecclesiastes, we read, "God has made everything beautiful in its time." Yes, things are bad now, and things may look pretty dreary outside, but we know that eventually spring will come. Not because of science, not because we've learned about the tilt of the axis of the earth or its rotation around the sun. No, we know that because God has promised us. In Genesis 8:22, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." And he has kept that promise. And he is ever faithful to his promises. We'll sing of that in a few minutes in the words of the hymn, "Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." God is faithful. God keeps his promises in all seasons. No matter how much the world changes around us or seasons change or how bad things may seem. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that leads into the second thing we can learn from winter, and that is that there is always purpose and hope, even when everything seems darkest. When our view is confined to the world around us, it's very easy to lose hope and get down. But even when things are coldest and darkest, God has his ultimate purpose in view. Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book called The Hiding Place, which tells a story of how she and her family helped to hide Jews and protect them from the Nazis. It's estimated that they saved about 800 lives. Eventually, an informant told of their activities, and Corey, her father, and sister were arrested. Her father died 10 days after imprisonment. Corey and her sister were eventually sent to a concentration camp where they would hold daily Bible studies and prayer in secret within their barracks, despite those horrendous conditions around them. Corey's sister, Betsy, died in that camp. But Corey went on to survive and share her story. She expressed forgiveness for her enemies. And she led a lot of people through her witness to know their Savior. Corey said, "If you look around at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest." If her perspective had been limited to the world around her, those gross injustices and sufferings, there would have been little hope, just darkness. But Corey and her family knew the Lord and were motivated to share God's love, even at risk of their lives. And that leads into the last lesson I want you to remember that we can learn from Winter. And this is the most important, is that darkness does not have the final word. Yes, the hours of daylight are short this time of year. And it seems like we go so long without seeing the sun. But we know that the sun will return. And we know that God's sun will return as well. The sky was darkened for 3 hours in the middle of the afternoon while he hung upon that cross. But he declared, "It is finished," and died and was buried in the ground. Things indeed looked dark. But death could not hold our Savior, the Son of God. He rose victorious and conquered the enemy. Even with all the darkness around us, with all the cold of winter, we know that God, our Savior, has defeated death. As John said in 1 John 2:8, "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." About a week ago, my wife and I picked up a friend of our daughter's from the Minneapolis airport. This friend lives in South Carolina, had never been to the Midwest before. And as we were driving home from the airport in the middle of a blizzard, while I was clutching the steering wheel and trying to navigate those roads, she looked out the window and said, "It's so magical. It's like a snow globe." And that reminded me of the beauty that there is in winter. And so appreciate the winter and appreciate God's lessons that we learn, that he teaches us, that God is faithful. Spring will come. There is hope, and we will see the sun again. God's sun, when he comes again. We'll sing of this in the words of hymn 809, verses 1 and 2.